Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. 13 years ago, Illinois high school football player Rocky Clark took a hit during a game that left him paralyzed from the neck down. Last year, Rocky Clark passed away, 2 years after the school's insurance policy dried up. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn recently signed Senate Bill 2178, otherwise known as Rocky's Law. The new law requires every high school in that state to provide insurance coverage for each student athlete of $3 million or for 5 years. By phone from Chicago is the bill's sponsor, Illinois Senator Napoleon Harris. Senator Harris played 7 seasons with the NFL. Welcome to the show, Senator Harris.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Also with us from Illinois is Matt Troha. Matt is Assistant Executive Director of the Illinois High School Athletic Association. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt, did the Illinois High School Athletic Association support Rocky's Law?
Well, you know what? We weren't necessarily involved, in a very intimate way. We had been approached by a group that was associated with Rocky, called the Gridiron Alliance, about a year and a half ago, and they had started to kind of put together some legislation and some talks about this, and had asked if we could fund it. At that point in time, the type of coverage that they wanted really didn't exist, and we also didn't have the funding within our budget. To proceed with that. So I would have to ask Senator Harris at some point, I guess, that they probably hooked up with the Gridiron Alliance and got that rolling. But, I mean, we think it's certainly a good thing for our schools and for our students.
Senator Harris, what triggered your work on this bill?
Well, for me, it was personal. Rocky was someone that I have grown to know. You know, his high school and my high school were in the same conference. So when I was at Northwestern, I heard about the story and I saw what happened to Rocky, and then over the years I saw what his mom went through with trying to provide care for him. And then when you hear about, you know, the tragedy that happened with him just playing football, and I looked at this situation and said, hey, that could have easily been me. You know, I was a high school football player here in the great state of Illinois, and then I had the good fortune to play at Northwestern and to go on and play professionally. So for me, this story hits home in a very personal way, where I looked at it as an opportunity to do something about an issue that was near and dear to my heart. So for me to sponsor this bill was just taking a step in the right direction and saying, hey, these student-athletes deserve coverage. They deserve to not be treated as just cattle, so to speak, and if something unfortunate like this was to happen to any other student, that they would have protection in the future.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about catastrophic injuries for student-athletes, high school athletes in particular. With me, Napoleon Harris. He's an Illinois State Senator and a former NFL linebacker. And also Matt Troha. He's the Assistant Executive Director of the Illinois High School Association. They've changed the laws in Illinois. If you have a question or comment for them, you can give us a call. If you think they should change the laws in Ohio, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Senator Harris, what were the laws regarding student medical coverage before your legislation was passed? Was Rocky grappling with all those years?
Well, it really wasn't any. It was basically, you could, for lack of a better term, the Wild West, where you can do whatever you wanted to do. You can insure or not insure. This is just basically putting together a uniform policy saying that all high schools are required, by law, to provide insurance if they're not requesting the individual to have insurance themselves. So to me, it's just making it uniform throughout the state, so it's not some people have insurance and some people don't. Because in some cases, some schools do have insurance, but others don't. So this is just making it clear cut for everyone to participate in the same process.
So this means that if a school district could require the student to carry the insurance.
Correct.
Well, have you had any concerns, or let me ask Matt Troha, any concerns that's going at the districts where they will require it, the districts that can't afford to do it themselves? Won't that kind of change the makeup of who gets to play?
Well, you know, a part of the law was is that the Illinois High School Association, we are not associated with the state. We're not a state government agent.
Okay.
We're a private nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the law was is that we need to provide a policy for all of our member schools. They don't necessarily have to go with our policy. They can go out and get it individually. But we do have to be able to provide one. And, you know, we have been able to provide one to our schools that'll provide this insurance and meet this minimum for about $3 a student. So it is, you know, it's pretty affordable. We're pretty happy with that number. So we think that most schools are going to be okay with it. But, you know, we're an incredibly diverse state. Our schools, we have lots of high schools under 100 students, and, mm-hmm. and our largest schools go up to about 8,000. But I think that, you know, we're seeing probably at the smaller schools, most of them are going to be able to afford that coverage. And a lot of them are going beyond just their student athletes. They're going to provide it just for all the students in their school since they are smaller. And as you get up to some of the larger schools, I think you'll probably maybe see that number kind of mixed in with the athletic fees, which is something that has grown in Illinois. A lot of schools now are using fees to play in athletics. But I think for the most part, it's something that the schools will be able to overcome, and we'll see our participation continue to stay strong, if not continue to grow.
Senator Harris, the law is $3 million or 5 years. How did you come to those numbers?
Well, we've worked with a lot of different groups. We have bipartisan support on both sides of the aisle to come up with those numbers. And we thought from a starting point was fair. I mean, when you look at something, when you're trying to pass a bill, you look at how this is going to affect change in your state and what's fair. And, you know, starting off, we thought that it was fair for everyone to get on board and to realize how important of an issue this was for everyone to, you know, get on board. And we want to thank the IHSA for being able to go out and provide the type of insurance that's going to be affordable for everyone. Because I think a lot of people looked at it as, are we going to be able to afford this type of insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And IHSA really stepped up and able to put a plan together that's going to be affordable, as he stated, about $3 per student. And we think that's very affordable. And like he said, the enrollment in sports should continue to grow and be stable here in the state of Illinois.
You had a successful career in the NFL. You're aware, of course, of the controversy with the NFL and the whole issue of concussions.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning more and more about the dangers of sports, and a lot of times the equipment that the kids wear and the pros wear maybe gives them a false, false sense of security. Are you concerned that the kids are playing too hard or harder than they used to?
No, I don't think that's a concern. I think when you talk about safety, you always want to talk about it comes down to teaching, you know, teaching the proper techniques and understanding how to make a proper tackle. And the more you practice, the better you become at it. I think when you're saying about playing hard, I mean, we realize the game is always evolving and it's ever-changing. You know, athletes are becoming bigger, stronger, and faster. That's a part of our game, and I believe that each year you have different companies and that use this equipment. They come and they try to figure out better ways to make sure that the game is safer. You have Riddell, who does the helmets and the shoulder pads. They're going to come up with ways to make it lighter, to make the pass lighter so guys can move fast and be more efficient, as well as make sure that the helmets are safer to protect the brain and protect the head.
Matt Troha, in Illinois, or as far as the your members go in the Illinois High School Athletic Association, what sort of training do coaches get when it comes to teaching the student-athletes how to play safely?
Well, you have to be certified as a coach, and there are a number of different ways that you can maintain that certification. And one would be through becoming a teacher with your teacher certificate. And then there's also some outside organizations that we use. ASEP is one that's very popular nationally, and also the National Federation of State High School Associations, which is the acronym is the NFHS, and that's a group that there's 51 state associations in the country, all 50 states, and then the District of Columbia we all belong to, and they also provide that type of certification. And when you talk about football specific, we're actually, that's a topic, a very hot topic, obviously, and one that we're, no pun intended, we're tackling right now. And
mm-hmm.
we're in the process of putting together some best practices that's going to incorporate some video and some GIF images and things like that. So, you know, we're just trying to be proactive.
Senator Harris, what was it? You said you've met, you've grown to know Rocky, you grew to know Rocky before he passed away. What was it about his case? There had to have been other kids that had been injured before him.
Well, number one, it was a local case. It was something that was nearby my district.
Okay.
So, like I said, his high school where the injury happened at was in my conference. So I had a really great understanding of what went on and knew Rocky himself. So that made me kind of spearhead this in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like it started before me, before I got to the Senate, and I picked it up once I got there,
mm-hmm.
you know, due to the fact that I was a former Illinois high school football player, mm-hmm. Played collegiately as well as professionally. And it was something that I knew, had a vast knowledge about. So I said, well, hey, why not pick up the torch and carry this, because this is something that I know about and this is something I could definitely help with getting others to understand the importance of this issue.
So I just asked Matt Troha about coach training. What about coach training, in your opinion? What's the most important thing they need to know to keep those kids safer?
I think it always comes down to repetitive training. I think we can never have enough training. I think, as Matt mentioned, the different organizations that the IHSA uses, as well as the best practices. I mean, coming up with the list of saying these are the best practices going forward that we have as on the table to look at to say this is what we're going to utilize, and saying this is what we need to do and teach our players in order to be safe for player safety. I mean, you're never going to get 100% perfect, because each and every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going in to make a tackle, you can never tell if a player is going to duck, if he's going to stop. So each collision, each tackle is going to be met with a different type of force and different things. But you want to make sure that you're teaching your players when they're tackling, keep the head up, bend your knees, when you're tackling, you're trying to go for the midsection or chest area and not trying to strike, using your helmet as a weapon to strike with your head. And hopefully that will prevent concussions, prevent head injuries, and make our game safer.
What about the officials, game officials? How are they trained to look for dirty play, Matt Troha?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say dirty play, because I don't think a lot of the injuries necessarily happen on those types of things. I think, you know, it's what Senator Harris just mentioned, is that sometimes you can't predict all the different elements that are going to go into a particular play and what someone's going to do. But from a top down, the NFHS is who I already mentioned. They mm-hmm. provide our rule book for football and for most of our sports. And over the last few years, we've made a significant effort in conjunction with them to make our field officials a lot more aware of head injuries, looking for the signs and symptoms of concussions, so that we can get players out of the game and avoid, you know, we've heard some terrible stories about second impact syndrome
right.
throughout the years. And so now more than ever, I think that we're all aware, both players, coaches, officials, of the you know, the severity of head injuries. And I think everyone, you know, knows the signs and symptoms and is really looking out for it a lot more. But that's an element where we've really engaged our officials to take action and say, don't risk it. If you see a kid who looks wobbly, get him off there, you know, get the doctors to evaluate him, and you know, and then it's in their hands at that point.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining us, Matt Troha. Matt Troha's Assistant Executive Director of the Illinois High School Athletic Association, and also Senator Napoleon Harris, Illinois State Senator, former NFL linebacker. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll continue our conversation. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. An estimated 350,000 7th through 12th graders play school sports in Ohio. That's 350,000 heads and necks and 1.4 million limbs that need protecting. Student safety on the field or court or ice or wherever they compete is why there are pre-screenings, coach training, more safety equipment, emergency procedures, and insurance policies. Joining us now to talk about how they manage the burden of making sure every student is as safe as possible is Justin Sanford. He's director of athletics for Gahanna Lincoln High School. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
If anyone out there has a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Justin Sanford, if a student gets injured during a soccer game, say she breaks her leg, does the school pay for her treatment? Let's just take that most basic situation and tell us what you do, what happens.
In that situation, obviously the school is not responsible for the medical coverage of that student athlete that may sustain that type of injury that falls back on the parent's insurance plan.
Okay.
One thing that we do at Gahanna is through our insurance provider and through a plan that they have offered and recommended to our school is those students and those families that don't have medical coverage insurance, then there's an application form that they can go to, and it can be based on per school year, per season. If they're just a fall sport athlete, a girl mm-hmm. soccer player, then they can purchase it's at a very reasonable cost insurance for that specific season, or they can pull it for the entire school year. So if something would happen in physical education or what have you.
Do they have to qualify financially for that?
They do not, as far as I know.
Okay.
I brought some of the information here with me. So
they could just be people who choose not to have insurance, but they have to have it for if their kid's going to play athletics.
It is not a law that requires them to have insurance if they're going to play.
Right.
Obviously, all of the paperwork that we go through and the authorization forms that our parents have to sign, they understand the risks that are involved in any interscholastic athletics, and they agree to the fact that, you know, you understand the risk prior to going into the season. If you don't have insurance coverage of your own, here's an opportunity for you to purchase it at a reasonable cost. The lowest cost is, I think, $31. And then it goes up to about $155 if you want to cover the entire year.
What if they don't?
Unfortunately, that's going to fall back on the parents ultimately. What we do at the high school with our medical coverage that we provide, our athletic training services and our physicians that we have on staff or that work with our teams, we're going to try and put them in the best and safest situation that we can. The Illinois gentleman talked about the NFHS and the requirements that require of coaches. We go through those same exact things mm-hmm. that Ohio does as well through the NFHS. But when it falls back on an individual injury, the unfortunate reality is it falls back on those parents. And hopefully that we've given them the tools. If you don't have insurance to cover a sprained ankle to a broken leg to something catastrophic, we'll get to the catastrophic piece because we're fortunate here in Ohio with our association on what they provide. But a sprained ankle or a broken leg, then unfortunately that falls back on the parents.
All right. So Gahanna Lincoln's a member of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, right?
That's correct.
So let's talk about what kind of governance the SAA has in these cases?
Well, I think it falls in line, not knowing all of the details about what the Illinois State Association does, but in Ohio, the OHSAA pays that premium. They pay that premium for all of our interscholastic athletics participants during their season, from the time tryouts begin to the to that last tournament. So if one of our student athletes as a member school of the OHSAA sustains a catastrophic injury, Ohio High School has already paid that premium for them, whether it was the $3 per student. I don't know what the rate is that Ohio has negotiated, but the OHSAA picks up that premium for our member schools and our member student athletes.
And that is how much?
And I don't know what they pay for that per athlete. That's
okay.
Something the Ohio High School Athletic Association could probably offer. But in terms, and it's a breakdown, a description of coverages that are printed in all of our bylaws and rules and regulations that go out to all of our member schools.
Do you know what a catastrophic injury is defined as?
I'm sure those medical and insurance companies describe that for me, I mean, I think the most common that we can think of, and certainly what you referred to in terms of the neck injury or a catastrophic concussion event per se, would certainly be defined in there. Anything where there's, I guess, dismemberment or what have you. But for me to specifically define that, no, I can't define that for you.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest right now, Justin Sanford. He's director of athletics for Gahanna Lincoln High School. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What kinds of medical screenings have to occur before a student plays a sport? What do you need a doctor sign off for?
You know, we have a pre-participation physical exam that Ohio High School requires all of our student athletes. That's good for one calendar year. So prior to each and every season, we're required to make sure that all of our student athletes that are participating have a valid pre-participation physical form on file. It's about 6 pages, and it has grown in the 14 years that I've been doing this. That form used to be front and back, and now it's about 6 pages long. It gets into more of a history with a student athlete as well, which I don't think it covered prior to this point where we are today. Given that physician the opportunity then to look at the past history of concussions or knee or leg or ankle injuries that they may have had prior to signing off and saying that this student athlete is fit to participate in whatever sport that they participate. So they're required for the pre-participation physical exam to be on file. The Ohio High School, through Ohio House Bill 143, which we're very fortunate, as I said, with Ohio High School. They have been proactive from the get-go. They've really been out in the forefront of this. So when Ohio House Bill 143 was passed, detailing and talking about certification for coaches and certification for officials and then a return-to-play protocol for concussions and head injuries, they've really already had those in place. So it's just a matter of it being on the books now and required for the school districts to follow. Once our student-athletes at Gahanna Lincoln, for example, submit their pre-participation physical exam, they make the team if there are tryouts and that, we've expanded our medical coverage. We contract with a large hospital system here in Central Ohio with Ohio Health. We have 3 athletic trainers that provide care for our student athletes. They have a protocol, a program called impact testing, which is it really provides a baseline cognitive assessment for student athletes. So they go through that. All of our student athletes, whether it's a contact or a collision sport or a cross-country runner or a golfer, they go through impact testing. That provides the baseline for their cognitive assessment. So then if something does happen during the course of the season, our athletic trainers and our medical doctors that we work with, and they work with our athletic trainers, then they can refer back to that baseline so that they don't have any. You talked about the second impact syndrome. Some student athletes, unfortunately, are going to say, you know, I feel great, I feel fine, just to get back on the field, get back on the court, or what have you. This is a fail-safe for our athletic trainers, our coaches, and our doctors to say, I know you're saying that, but let's go back to the impact testing and see where you fall prior to us returning you to play.
Chris in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to ask, I'm really curious about, like, athletes with, like, a history, like, you know, football players that have, like, a history of concussions, cross-country runners with a history of asthma or, you know, twisted ankles or something. Like, how does the OHSAA, the athletic directors, coaches, parents, and even the athletes, how do they balance that responsibility and that liability? Like, how, like, where's the line that sort of comes up in those sorts of situations?
So maybe a student who's had lots of breaks, maybe there's no necessarily medical reason for it per se, but lots of breaks, someone with asthma. Is there any responsibility on the part of the school district to keep them out of the sport or monitor how they are in the sport?
From our situation, given that example, we rely heavily on our athletic trainers and our physicians, our team physicians that mm-hmm. that oversee our athletic trainers. As I said, when they get their pre-participation physical exam, there's a whole list of history and questions that they have to answer. And if that is one of the indicators on there that they've had sustained two concussions or knee or ankle injuries, they review all of those physicals prior to then turning them over and saying, yes, this athlete is eligible to participate after we've cleared them. The medical doctor has cleared them. We as athletic trainers and our team physicians have looked at a case by case. If they have a history for injuries or head injuries, then we have cleared them for participation. Now, if during the course of the season they sustain that injury, that information is all very readily accessible to them. They can revert right back to their physical exam, look at it. They've had a history of concussions. They've had a history of these knee injuries, leg injuries, whatever it may be. And they will work with our team physicians and also the individual parents, physicians, family physicians to say, you know, what is the best course of action for us to put this person back on the field? If it's something that falls back on our team physicians, then there may be, you know, treatment or rehab or some preventative care that needs to be done in terms of strengthening and conditioning prior to us feeling safe that we can put them back on the field or the court.
Thank you, Chris, for that call. If anyone else out there has a question or comment, you can call 614-292-8513 or shoot us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Ohio passed new legislation in April regarding concussions in school sports. There's the mandatory training we've talked about to recognize the signs. And you've mentioned how no student's allowed to play again until they're cleared by a doctor. How did this affect your district? There's the collision sports, there's the contact sports. What exactly are they doing differently when it comes to the coaching and that kind of a thing? I mean, coaches are actually right out there with the athlete.
Correct. You know, for us, as I said, Ohio High School Athletic Association has really been at the forefront. So it didn't really change a lot because all of its member schools have been kind of abiding by this prior to the bill that went in April. How it's changed for us is obviously there's the additional course requirement for our coaches to take.
And what do they learn?
Well, you go through it. It talks about the signs and symptoms of concussion. It talks about essentially the baseline return to play protocol so that they understand that there's a five-step program for them. If someone sustains a concussion, these are the five-step protocol. Because not every school, you know, we are very, very fortunate, both in here at Gahanna. Like I said, we have three athletic trainers. Mm-hmm. We have 27
Not
varsity
every school
sport.
Has that. Not every school has a contract. Do they have to have somebody like on site?
It is not required of
okay.
schools to be there. But it comes with a cost as well. And our district has seen that, and that is an investment in the safety of our student athletes that we do that. So we have three. We also have a medical team of doctors, two doctors that and an orthopedist that we work with as well, that take the care and the safety of our student athletes at the forefront. There are schools that don't have that ability to have an athletic trainer on site, to have an athletic trainer on staff, and you know, they're at a little bit of a disadvantage. Where I see the positives in that is, not to make this sound the wrong way, that coaches are, you know, very, very focused on their kids and their sport, but they are. And they have, you know, 50,000 things going on prior to a Friday night football game or a basketball game or what have you. The safety is always, should be at the forefront of their mind. But if at the same time, if they're hearing from Johnny who says, I'm feeling great and I feel fine, and our coaches have medical education in terms of the concussion piece, mm-hmm. They have no one to fall back on that's an unbiased party. Our athletic trainers are an unbiased party. Their sole purpose is for the safety and security of our student athletes, not whether or not we're going to win on Friday night or Tuesday night or whatever it may be. It's about keeping our kids safe and returning them to play at the manner in which they should be. So those schools that don't have that coverage, that's, I think they're a little bit handcuffed and maybe setting themselves up for you know, issues that could potentially come down the road. The change in, the one change in the legislation that came of this, certainly for Ohio, is all of our officials, soccer, basketball, football, all of them have to go through the same training that a football coach or a soccer coach do as well. We had an injury that happened here recently, took a blow to the head. Student athlete went down on the field. At the conclusion of the game, that student athlete was removed. Our athletic trainer is assessing that student athlete and taking care of that student athlete. But then the officials at the conclusion of the game, as part of this new legislation that Ohio High School has, mm-hmm. is they fill out a paperwork as well that's submitted down to the state office, to Ohio High School Athletic Association. It's also sent to us. Our athletic trainers have to fill out the exact same form. It goes in the record of that student athlete so that we know that during this contest, this student athlete was removed because of a head injury. But then our athletic trainers then in turn also put that in the student's personal file so that our guidance counselors and our teachers are aware that this student athlete had a head injury.
I want to talk to you about that because, you know, I have a high school kid and plays high school sports and know a lot of other parents who have high school kids who play high school sports. Mm-hmm. And when they get a concussion or some kind of – it's that kind of an injury, you hear that it's, don't worry – we'll take care of them at school. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times the prescription is no reading for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. no computers for 2 weeks, not just playing on a computer, but no using a computer for 2 weeks, or however many weeks it might be. And they say, don't worry. But how in the world, in a really practical situation, how do they stay up? They mm-hmm. still have to get their work done. It seems to me, after 2 or 3 weeks of not doing anything, you have more work than ever.
Correct. You know, and it really falls back to the communication from our medical team, our athletic trainers, and our guidance counselors and teachers to let them know. Because there's levels of severity with those concussions, mm-hmm. You know, from the very, very mild concussion to obviously a severe concussion. Each of those cases, you know, our athletic trainers are communicating with our guidance counselors and our teachers to let them know, you know, if this happened on a Friday night and obviously they've had a couple days through the weekend, depending on the severity of it, to where some of their headaches and whether it's blurred vision or whatever it may be, may have sustained or subsided by Monday, the time it rolls around. But at the same time, our athletic trainers are evaluating. This happened on a Friday night. She reevaluated them on Saturday. Come in on Saturday mm-hmm. to make sure, see where you are, and then we'll continue the assessment from there. That may be that referral to, you need to see your family physician or you need to see our team physician so we can, if it is something where it's going to be prolonged, a week or 2 weeks, where we don't want them in that type of an environment, uh-huh. Then obviously that's going to come from a physician's note that says that the best practice is going to be here.
Yeah, but all right, so everybody agrees the kid shouldn't
correct.
Be reading or go to classes, be in the hallways, being jostled, blah, blah. How do they catch up? To me, that's the ultimate conflict between the sports and the academics.
It is. And that would be difficult, I think. But I don't think it's any more challenging or difficult if it's a student that has bronchitis that's out of school for a week. I mean, this is just obviously an opportunity for us to, again, putting the safety and security of the student athlete first at the forefront, working with teachers and communicating with teachers so that they know what's going on. Is there some things through our medical personnel mm-hmm. that they can do at home? Okay, we don't want them in the hallways. We don't want them in a bright light environment
right.
where we're watching a computer screen the whole time. But is there stuff that he or she can get accomplished at home to where it's away from that environment? So just removing them from pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it's something that is a severe head injury to where it's, you know, a loss of school for a significant amount of time, then obviously those opportunities to maybe curtail their assignments to this, or they really need, they're just going to struggle with that, or they're going to have to make that up.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to try and find a way, again, through communication, being proactive and communicating with teachers, of finding ways that they can be involved, that they're not going to be buried by coursework or course load if they're out for too long of a time. But that's where the athletic trainers and communication is so vital.
Well, Justin Sanford, I want to thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Justin Sanford is the director of athletics for Gahanna Lincoln High School. I guess you're going to stay on with us, perhaps going into the next segment. Now that I check it out. So stay with us. We'll continue our conversation. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. A recent U.S. study that reported injuries in youth hockey players 9 to 15 years old showed that head and neck injuries accounted for nearly a quarter of the types of injuries. Body checking accounted for 86% of the causes of all injuries that occurred during games. 55% of the players thought that their helmets and face masks protected them from injuries. But they don't, at least not always. And they didn't in 2008 when Toledo area high school freshman Kyle Cannon suffered a paralyzing neck injury during a high school hockey tournament in suburban Dayton. At the outset, the medical bill exceeded $1 million. After other sources of financial aid, including insurance, dried up, the community stepped up. Still with us is Justin Sanford, athletic director of Gahanna Lincoln High School. And joining us now is John Utter. He's chairman of KC3 Foundation, a nonprofit established to raise money for Kyle's care. Welcome to the show.
Anne, good morning, and thank you very much for having me.
John Utter, you were the team manager for the clay hockey team that Kyle played on, and you were there that day. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, you're right. I am the team manager for Oregon Clay High School Hockey, and, you know, unfortunately, I was there, and it rinked that day in Dayton. I tell you, it was very difficult. Kyle was checked from behind into the boards, and as he fell forward, his chin actually went into the boards first, and unfortunately, the broken neck occurred from that point on. And, you know, we talk a lot about training, and I heard a lot of your segment of your show on education. And, you know, it was a type of situation that never should occur in hockey. Everybody were taught from the first time we laced up our skates never to do such a thing. It happened. You know, mistakes happen in life. And unfortunately, you know, the broken neck for Kyle did occur.
We've focused a lot today on the cost, but prevention is part of the equation. As you mentioned, the concept of fair play has been adopted in many places. It doesn't eliminate checking, though. What does fair play mean?
You really fair play to us, and something that we communicate to our players all the time is respect your opponent, sportsmanship. You know, we all want to win. We're all competitive people as players and as coaches and also as parents. But at the end of the day, it's the overall respect for the game, respect of your opponent. And when we say fair play, we really push. And in hockey, we're even trying to push a lot more, is the overall sportsmanship.
Justin Sanford, what about fair play, and how much is it emphasized, or if at all, at Gahanna Lincoln?
Well, I think it's emphasized everywhere, hopefully, anyway, and certainly through our kids and our hockey program. That's, you know, that's one thing that we emphasize with our coaches and our players and our parents in regards to the sport, that it is just a game. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's just a game. You know, in this situation that Mr. Utter and has experienced with Oregon Clay and that student athlete is the extreme unfortunate, and we don't want to see that with any of our kids, any of the kids that we participate against. So you just it's a constant message that has to be sent to our student athletes whenever they're on the ice or on the field. And that's where, you know, I think the officials, again, going back to what we talked about in the earlier segment of them understanding the risks and what that means and fair play means and sportsmanship and so on, they're that force out on the ice that can help curtail some of those things. Some things, obviously, they can't control, and they can't control this situation here. But if it's something, you know, that is ongoing, you notice that in a specific player that's playing, I don't want to use the word dirty, but a player that's not maybe exercising that good sportsmanship and fair play, mm-hmm. then they have the opportunity, and so do coaches, of removing that player from the ice or trying to curtail that situation from happening in this extreme, severe circumstance.
Whatever happened to that other player, John Utter?
Well, and that's a great question. And unfortunately, you know, there's two victims here. Obviously, Kyle and trying to move on and rebuild his life. But mm-hmm. The player, you know, he knew he made a mistake. And, there a lot of negative has occurred. You know, dropping out of school, being very, very excluded from society, really the overall grasp of understanding of a split second mistake in a high school hockey game, what the impact of that was, and it's a very, very tragic situation for everybody involved. So unfortunately, you know, some negatives have turned out in that case as well.
You know, I remember in Driver's Ed, they showed you all the movies. This is back in the dark ages, but there were movies, and they showed us movies of cars, you know, slamming into walls, cars slamming into each other, making that the point that you're going to be driving around a 2-ton or 3-ton or whatever it is, you know, killing a weapon, essentially. And I was wondering, Justin Sanford, how do you teach kids who think that they're unbreakable and invincible that lesson? I really have always been a very careful driver ever since watching those movies.
Yeah. And the unfortunate reality is situations like this.
Do they hear about them? Do people talk about them to
absolutely
them?
Absolutely, and specifically in the hockey community. It's such a small and tight-knit community, and it's a growing sport in the state of Ohio, but it's still a small, intimate group, and when situations like this happen, it is at the forefront of every coach, every parent, and really every hockey player to know, because they feel like it was, you know, that Kyle and what happened in Oregon could have happened in Worthington or Gahanna just the same. So, unfortunately, we don't have those videos. Maybe that's something that that we need to implement as some sort of, I guess, so that it can grab their attention even more, because, you know, this happened in 2008, but yet it continues to be talked about, and that's what we want. We want that to be at the forefront so our kids can understand it.
We started the conversation at the top of the hour noting that Illinois Governor Pat Quinn recently signed Senate Bill 2178, otherwise known as Rocky's Law. That new law requires every high school in that state to provide insurance coverage for each student-athlete of $3 million or for 5 years. John Utter, how did the community learn about the financial burden of Kyle's injuries?
Well, you know, again, we're very tight-knit community here in Oregon, and without our hockey community here in Northwest Ohio, we just have advocates for the family. Different people in our community here in Oregon have really kind of reached out to different media outlets and any way that we really can, and kind of get Kyle's story out there. You know, here in the state of Ohio, through the Ohio High School Athletic Association, we are very, very grateful and thankful for having the additional insurance on each and every athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really take a harder look at the case of Kyle and the overall enormous financial burden that this accident has occurred, you know, that type of insurance is just not enough. It's not. And you know, that money from the Ohio High School Athletic Association was used just for basic expenses for the family. So we've actually kind of worked together as a group here through the KC3 Foundation as advocates for Kyle and really working together to raise as much money as we can just for the basic day-to-day needs for Kyle.
Now, the KC3 Foundation was established to benefit Kyle and his family.
That is correct. With 100% of all donations and proceeds of the foundation go directly to Kyle. You know, Ann, and one thing that we're currently doing today with the finances of is Kyle has rebuilt his life. He has...
He's
graduated
in college?
From high school.
He is a
sophomore now at Bowling Green State University. And when you just look at the aids that is required for Kyle to attend college, you know, we're talking about feeding and just getting around, the co-pays for the aids take 100% of all money raised that we have right now today. So as we want to do other things with some stem cell research opportunities and things like that, it's very difficult to raise enough money, considering, you know, just the basic need of the aid on a day-to-day basis pretty much takes all the financial support that we give right now.
And this could go on forever.
Correct. Absolutely. So, you know, I love what the state of Illinois is doing and kind of taking a leadership role with Rocky's Law. I think it kind of motivates me and some of us here in Oregon to work with the state of Ohio, to work with our legislation and Ohio High School Athletic Association and use Kyle's case as an example.
Yeah. Would it have made a difference? Would $3 million right off the bat have made that much of a difference?
Oh, absolutely. Again, you don't want to sound, disrespectful or ungrateful because, obviously the family is extremely grateful for mm-hmm. Ohio High School.
Of course.
But you're looking here in the state of Ohio, you have a $500,000 insurance policy per athlete. Mm-hmm. So that $3 million is tremendous. Justin, as an athletic director, I'm sure your hockey program has reached out for USA Hockey Insurance, which is an additional supplement, which is very, very difficult to get here in the state of Ohio, that we, as part of the KC3 Foundation, are working with different high school programs, USA Hockey. We're working with Ohio High School Athletic Association to see if we could have a rider supplement insurance. Hmm. So things like this doesn't happen.
Well, will health care reform take up some of the burden when it comes to situations like Kyle's? Do you know?
No, at this point, it has not made any difference. Everything that we have read, and again, as a family, there's so many different avenues, and just to keep up on, there's actually individuals within the KC3 Foundation that try to manage the insurance portion of it. But in everything that we have read, the co-pays will not be eliminated under any type of reform.
Okay.
And that's unfortunate.
Justin Sanford, when you hear about stories like Kyle's, and you have heard about stories like about Kyle's story, obviously, what goes through your mind in terms of how Gahanna and any typical Ohio high school copes with the financial impact on the family?
Well, I think just like Oregon, the unfortunate reality is you're going to, if going through a situation like this, you got to rely heavily on your community and people like John that stepped up to take this lead, to help Kyle even after that injury has happened, after that first year, after graduation, and now moving on to college. Do I have an answer for what the best scenario would be? I don't. I don't know that anybody does, really. To understand the impact that this is going to have on Kyle and the expenses that this is going to have on Kyle, hopefully from the federal standpoint that it can come down to where that coverage might be accessible to him to cover some of these copays. Or the reality is, this is a student who's, really he's at the start of his life in college, and, he's going to graduate with a degree, but yet have this burden of debt, from the insurance piece to college expenses, and it's just unfortunate for anybody to have to start their life that way.
Some critics say that checking should be banned in high school hockey, that should be left to the clubs, which are the real feeders to the university and pro systems, except for in Northwestern Ohio. I'm wondering, you and I, Justin Sanford, were talking earlier off during a break about pending legislation in Illinois that would limit tackling how much you could tackle during practices and that sort of thing. John Utter, what about checking in practices? Is that curtailed at all?
It is at the younger age.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it should be, as kids, just are learning how to play the game in the fundamentals and as other aspects of hockey. But just like in football, it does come to a point of education and coaching. And all these coaches do a fantastic job of educating our young kids on how to tackle properly and how to not in hockey, not just take a check and to give a check on both ends of things. A lot of time is spent in the sport of hockey on the checking aspect of it and what is right and what is wrong. Our referees do a fantastic job at the high school level. One thing that we try to do in the KC3 Foundation is awareness. And we actually have a representative from the foundation that will speak to different high schools, kind of like the video that you received in driver's ed type of scenario. Mm. So the education is there. It really is. And our coaches do a phenomenal job. Unfortunately, as Justin mentioned several times, the worst case scenarios still do happen in our society. Mm. And it's something that we have to deal with.
So tell us how Kyle is now. He's in college, but how's his health? How's he doing?
Kyle is doing okay. When I say okay, obviously when you have the paralysis from the neck down, and
right.
Everyday life is his okay is a little bit on a different scale than my okay today. With that being said, just for Kyle to graduate from high school and to miss the enormous amount of time he misses is fantastic. Mm-hmm. and really dedication and a commitment of Kyle. But Kyle's doing okay. You know, he's currently at Bowling Green, enrolled in computer programming, enjoys college, enjoys that aspect of his life, and is really looking forward to, as any other college kid, graduating, and then see what happens, what the world brings him after that.
All right, John Utter, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
John Utter, he's chairman of the KC3 Foundation. You can learn more about that. We'll have a link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Also, Justin Sanford, once again, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Justin Sanford is the athletic director for Gahanna Lincoln High School. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.